Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be bright.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. And this is a show that each week brings you information about the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you'd like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're a little radio shy, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkay, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, at aol.com. Tonight I'm waiting for my guest, Dr. Brian Hooper. And while I'm waiting for him, I'm just going to put on one more song that's very uplifting for our women. And it's a Beatles song called Blackbird. Just stay tuned, and I'll be back with you in just a moment.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. black night.
Yeah. It started at 9 o'clock, you know, our time. All right. Now I'll let you dial in, all right? Just
close to the show number, okay? Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise. You are only waiting for this moment to arise.
Okay, good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay, and once again, welcome back to the Straight Wives Talk Show. And Dr. Hooper will be joining us in just a few moments. He was a little mixed up with the new time, and that's fine. Takes time to adjust. I know this has been quite a week for many people, and for all of our women who are part of our support network who are listening, you know, I just want to say that life does get better. I know it sometimes doesn't really seem like it does, but it really does. You just have to give everything time and give yourself the whole process of going through healing. And that's why I just want to mention that my upcoming healing weekend is just a few months away in September. I know it sounds like it's far away, but it's already March, April, yeah, May, June, July, August. Yep, September. It's the first week in October. So less than 6 months away, and even though that sounds like forever for some women, it's really not that far, especially if you have to make arrangements. So if you'd like to join me for my healing weekend, it's really an amazing experience for women who don't have the opportunity to meet other women in their situation, and sometimes just having that live one-on-one contact for however long it is, for 2 days or 3 days, making that kind of contact is really incredible. So if you're interested, my healing weekend is October 3rd and 4th here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and we have a wonderful place to stay, great group rate, and it will really change your life and start you moving in a direction that you need to go in order to heal. We have a wonderful day of sharing experiences, and the following day we have some really dynamite speakers that will really help you in that challenge. So if you are interested, please write to me at bonkaye@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you information. Also, if you're not receiving my newsletters yet, please contact me at the same email address, bonkaye@aol.com, or you can go to my website at gayhusbands.com and go to the newsletter and just request it there. Whatever it takes to give you support, that's what I'm here for. And I believe my co-host for tonight, Dr. Hooper's on the other line. So let me just ask him to come in. Hi, Brian. How are
Hello.
You?
Hey, I'm wonderful now. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry that we had maybe a little delay.
It was my snafu, my friend. It's just been a way busy day.
Yeah, I told people it's a hard adjustment since we've changed the time now and the date to try to get into getting in the swing of things. But I think as the months go on, we'll feel more natural about it.
Exactly.
So how's your month been?
Oh, well, it's been really busy. It's my practice was busy before, but it's really picked up since the first of the year. And I have to say, Bonnie, thanks to the connections made through your program, I'm having more and more gay men who are calling me and really wanting to face the music. And I'm grateful for that. I'm very glad that I can help them, and they're finding out about me in large part through what you're doing.
Well, I think the fact that you're able to help them in their venture of coming out, which is one of the most difficult decisions that any man could ever make, is truly a remarkable, you know, credit to you, Brian, because nobody can convince them like you can. I know these men get back to me and they say after they spoke to Dr. Hooper, they finally understand what they need to do and
well,
work with
you
so they can do it.
You know, and let me make a point here that may be helpful for some of the ladies who are listening, and that is that what I help folks do is think beyond all of the propaganda that they have heard throughout their lives, to step back and take a look at things in a very realistic way, not from simply, you know, the slogans that they've heard elsewhere. And when I'm able to do that and pose the questions to them that help them take a look at themselves, their relationship, what they really believe is the most loving thing to do, they begin to say, ah, you know, this is where I need to go. So it's not as if I even tell them. I just start asking really penetrating questions and help them examine their lives. It was Socrates that said years ago, the unexamined life is not worth living. And, you know, that's very true. And we can help people take a look at how they think about the things they think about. Then they can think differently. So that's really what I do.
One of the things that I appreciate that you do is that you really understand it from our women's side, and you really do believe that honesty is definitely the best policy, because I know that when I send you some of these men, they really are very hesitant to say, okay, I'm willing to leave the marriage, but why do I have to tell my wife the truth? Or
right.
They'll try to justify it by saying, well, our marriage would have ended anyway because it wasn't a good marriage. And as I tell these men, it wasn't a good marriage because you are a gay man in a marriage to a straight woman. So no
right.
matter how you try to make it something that it's not, it's something that should have never been to start with. So let's not sit there and blame the wife that she was too demanding. You know, it's funny. I had a conversation with a man once, and he said to me, you know, my wife was very suspicious all the time of me, always accusing me. I said, well, I wonder why.
Good reason.
Did she have something to accuse you for? I mean, was it a matter that she was making this up in her head?
No.
I said, if she was insecure, do you think it's because that you were not with her emotionally, sexually, physically? Do you think that could give her a cause for suspect? So he says, well, maybe, but I think that's her nature. And then he turned around to me and said, and my sons agree with me. Well,
oh,
look, you know, if you're going to sit and poison their mind about their mother, I guess they will agree with you. You know, instead of once again taking responsibility, and that's what I tell my gay men who come to me, take responsibility. You don't have a choice in being gay. You do have a choice in telling your wife the truth, in being being financially, emotionally supportive to the family, and doing the right thing, you know, thinking, instead of just acting.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yep.
But I find many men, they just, you know, they're so happy now that they have their life. And one of the things that bothers me, and I know you really help with this, Brian, too, is that when a man comes to me and he says, you know, he's ready to tell his wife, and sometimes they go to you, but sometimes they just go through me, and we go through the steps and what to do and what to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it always amuses me so much when 2 weeks later they come back to me and they say, well, I gave her 2 weeks, and how come she's just not
right.
able to move on from this?
Yeah.
Do they tell you that too?
Well, yeah, I've heard that. Well, and I actually preempt that, because what I say to them is, now remember, it took you how many years to finally come to the point where you were ready to step out and face what was going on inside and tell your wife the truth? So don't be expecting that she's going to get it in 2 weeks, okay? This is going to take some time. And you need to answer all of the appropriate questions that she asks, you know, because she's trying to wrap her mind around this. And it's your obligation, you really owe it to her, to give her the information that helps her begin to understand. So you keep it with her, just as she has put up with, you know, a lot of stuff from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they get it.
Like
some
men think, we had a wonderful marriage. You know, it was wonderful from your point of view. It wasn't necessarily wonderful from her point of view.
Right, well, I mean, I've dealt with that where, you know, both sides can acknowledge that there were aspects that were good.
Mm-hmm.
But and those are the ones who are able, if they're honest, then to have a friendship kind of relationship that blossoms afterwards. And the actual, like, I've had men say to me, you know, now that I've come out, we're actually spending more time together. We're going to the we never went to the movies. Now we're going to the movies together. And it's not that they're trying to get back together as a romantic couple, but I've said to him, listen, and here's why. Because you're being real with her. She can actually connect up with who you are as a person. And it's to her credit that she is wanting to, you know, develop a healthy relationship with who you really are. So good for both of you. Now, not every wife can do that, and I respect that. But
well, not every husband deserves it either, right, Brian?
Well, that's right. That's right. That's right.
You know, it has to be a mutual effort made on both parts. And I always tell women, when you have children, it's really important to try to develop some kind of working relationship.
Right.
It doesn't have to come first before personal feelings on either side. But I also tell women who are not attached that they can move on and let it go.
Right. That's true. They can move on and they can let it go. They didn't sign up for it. They don't have to fix it. They do need to take care of themselves.
Right. And that means starting your life again, and you don't have to hang on to the, you know, husband. You can let him go. I mean, you need to heal yourself first, you know, before still feeling that you're being, feeling obligated and taking care of him. You know, a lot of our women are caretakers by nature. And that's a fact.
I believe that.
And I don't think it's any accident that men who want to get married who are gay and living a double life, you know, look for women who are caring and understanding just in case. Just in case this comes out.
Well, those caring and understanding women may also have not been real demanding in the relationship from the beginning and were seeking to make him comfortable, and he was, you know, able to be with a woman who was providing a comfortable space for him where, you know, maybe he would not be expected to be the sexually assertive one. So, you know, part of it is, yes, I think there are some that go looking for that. I think there are others who they just find a comfort level with the nurturing and caring woman. And, you know, and in that relationship, I've met men who, well, in fact, the majority of them said, you know, there was this part of me, as if it could be a part, right? It's not a part. It runs throughout our whole being. But they thought that there was this part of them that would just be sort of subdued and go away once they were married. And they found somebody they came close to. Very few men that I've dealt with have been nefarious in their approach, saying, well, I know I'm gay, but I'm going to go find a beard. You know, once in a while they come forward, but a lot of them really went into it thinking they were doing the right thing. And then it snowballed, and then they didn't know what to do because they got caught up in it. And they felt trapped. And they perpetuated it rather than being honest and coming out. And then around their 40s, it gets to be 40s and into their 50s, usually in the 40s someplace that I've seen, it gets to be too much. They can't keep the facade going. They can't keep the charade going. And in many cases, as you and I have both noticed, you know, they find somebody else they want to be with, and then they decide to come out.
And that's usually when they decide to come out, or at least that's when they decide to come to me. I mean, they may be doing things otherwise, but I know that when I hear from most men, it's because the first thing I ask them, you know, when they tell me that they're going through the self-revelation and now they're coming to terms with themselves, and then the first thing I ask them, have you met someone else? And I would say in 98% of the cases they have.
And I believe you. Mm-hmm.
And now they want to just, you know, live their life. But, you know, they're feeling pressure from the guy who doesn't want them staying in their marriage. You know, they want to have a life with them, and understandably so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just, like I say, it just starts so many different complications. And I do understand it to many degrees. You know, I am very open as far as thinking and trying to understand it.
I think I think you're very compassionate. I really do think you're very compassionate.
I think so, too, but I really feel that, you know, the women have to get the support they need. And as supportive as I am to the men, I really am very insistent that you need to do the right thing, that you need to be honest with your wife, because otherwise, you know, you're really just hurting her.
Right? I agree completely, and I encourage them. I mean, I realize they may not come out, you know, the first, second, or third week that they see me, but they know that that's the trajectory and they need to get there.
Yes, and that's what I love about you, Brian, is that you really do push for the honesty. You really do push for them to do the right thing and, you know, not to play games. And I know it's hurtful to some men to have to hear that truth, but you somehow are able to talk them into understanding this, that, you know, if you truly love your wife, you're going to do this.
Yeah.
And that's another thing I, you know, we'll talk about it next month because, you know, a lot of my newsletters about this. You know, I think to myself about when men say, oh, I don't want to hurt my wife. I love my wife so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really, their whole perception of love and protecting their wife is really not very clear to them. I tell them, you know, if you love your wife, then she has to understand why you've been rejecting her. If you love your wife, you have to explain why you're not touching her. If you love your wife, you have to give her that missing puzzle piece because she knows something's wrong in the marriage and she's internalizing it and thinking it's her.
And that's exactly right. Yep. I tell them that. And also, sometimes, not always, but sometimes think, I don't want to hurt my wife is an excuse to cover the fact that I really don't want to go through the anxiety of telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Or
and
suffer the consequences.
And where I come back around is to say, well, now let's put this together. So you're sitting on the other end of the couch. You're not being affectionate with each other. You live with an anxiety and a level of depression, which is telegraphed not only to your wife and your kids. Do you think that staying in that relationship is not hurting her? And who are you to take responsibility for her feelings, tell the truth, and let her own her own feelings and give her the freedom so that she can be with somebody who can love her and be intimate with her physically as well as emotionally? And it's interesting to see how that can begin to help them switch their perspective to, oh, okay, maybe just staying in this isn't in her best interest, and I do need to fess up to this and, you know, come clean.
One of the things that always makes me laugh is when a guy says to me, you know, I love my wife so much that I could never even, if I would even tell her and have to picture her with another guy, it would kill me. Okay. Well, you don't want her, but...
And meanwhile,
you have a boyfriend, and you don't want her having somebody else.
Right.
And it's funny, that's how my ex-husband was, too. It was really amusing. He had a million people through, you know, a 10-year period after our divorce. And every time I, you know, was ready to go out and really meet somebody, it took me many years till I was able to do that because I was really beaten down. And I had to rebuild my own life. I wanted to go to school, get my degrees, raise my children. But finally, one day, my heart opened up, and I said to him, look, you know, and the kids were older by then. They weren't babies. I said, the kids need to go to your house because I'm going out with somebody. And he was just so upset. He says, you're going out? You're doing that? I said, yes. I said, why? Is that a problem? You know, and yet he was just really had a problem with it.
So
and I had other husbands who have told me the same thing.
I think that maybe goes to more of a personality kind of issue with the man and
mm-hmm.
needs to be separated out from their being gay because I think, I mean, I don't know your ex-husband and I'm not going to diagnose him, but
that's all right, I already have.
That sounds fairly narcissistic to me. I've had other men who have said, oh, God, she actually is dating somebody else now that I've come out, and she's free to do that, and I feel so relieved that she has some joy in her life now. One client in particular I'm very proud of that, you know, is working, did come out, and was happy when, you know, his wife let it be known that she was starting to date again, too, and did not at all feel threatened about it.
That's a healthy attitude. Right.
Yes, of course it's healthy. So I think what one of the things to remember is that there are men who are emotionally or psychologically and fairly healthy, and coming out as part of them exhibiting that good health. I think there are other men who are gay that are psychologically not real healthy, maybe pretty self-absorbed and narcissistic, and they're going to be a different critter to deal with than the healthier man. Sexual orientation does not equal psychological health and well-being.
Absolutely. I say that homosexuality was the greatest asset my ex-husband had. From there on, it was downhill. That was a good thing about him.
that was the only positive
I could come up with. He was gay.
That's a good attitude on your part, yes. Right.
Being honest. But anyway, last time you were here, Brian, we were talking about the whole issue transgender, and a number of women contacted me in the last few days because of the fact that Bruce Jenner had his TV interview with Barbara, with Diane Sawyer the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was certainly very well watched and very well talked about. And for many women, still confusing, and men.
Uh-huh.
So you said you had found out some things since our last show about this.
Yeah, well, first of all, I consulted with a colleague who did his doctorate in human sexuality and worked extensively in that area. And ask him a few questions that I didn't have the answers to. Also, subsequent to that, I did watch the interview with Bruce Jenner and thought Diane Sawyer did a very good job. Whether or not she really was as perplexed as she seemed to be around some issues, she certainly exemplified, I think, what a lot of people's response is to hearing that somebody is transsexual. So you had asked me why is it that some male to female transsexuals choose to keep their male genitalia? That was a question that actually did come up in the interview with Bruce Jenner as well. And so I posed this to my friend that did his studies in that area. And he said, well, in the community, that is the transsexual community, or transgender community, forgive me, that's the appropriate term today, is transgender. What we used to call sexual reassignment surgery, they often refer to simply as the bottom surgery, meaning the bottom half of the body. And the reason that some choose not to have that surgery is because, number one, it's not been fully perfected yet. It's still a risky procedure. And number two, as he said, they enjoy the sexual functioning, the orgasm experience that they can have with their genitalia as it is intact without going through the surgery. So it's a very sort of personal thing for them. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a fetish thing for them, although it may be, now this is me speaking, not my friend, I think it may be a fetish issue for some other men who want to be with them because of where they are in terms of their gender reassignment surgery or not having it yet. So those are the two answers. One, as he said, well, they're attached to their penis and they enjoy the pleasure of it. And number two, there are people who are saying, I don't want to risk the surgery. It's not been that perfected yet.
What if it was perfected? What if it had been perfected? Then how do you view this?
Well, but it hasn't, so I really can't conjecture about that. But feel free. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. If you have some thoughts.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm still confused, to be honest with you. However, I did some deep thinking about this. And, you know, I was amazed at the number of people who identify as being transgender in this country from the numbers mm-hmm. they were stating on the show.
It's one in 200 to 300 people. Well, actually, it's one in two to 300 people who are born with somewhat ambiguous genitalia.
Well, I heard there's like 700,000 people who are transgender now. So here's what I was wondering. When I was growing up, I never heard of transgender. However, within the gay community itself, when I was, you know, growing up in my late teens, early 20s, back in the 60s, revolution of sexuality back then, when there was more defined roles for gay people because they weren't accepted yet, you know, like they are much more so over the years, but, you know, there used to be women who were dressed like men. They would play the male role, and other women who played the female role. And I used to see some of these women who were very masculine looking. They had male haircuts, male clothing. You know, they would maybe bind themselves on top, you know, because they wanted a, you know, real male look. And sometimes you really could not tell them from being a male. So now I'm thinking maybe they really weren't lesbians. Maybe they really were transgender. And all these men who we thought were cross-dressers, because maybe they didn't know how else to express it, so they thought, well, I'll be a cross-dresser. But maybe a lot of them were transgender, too.
Yeah, I think teasing all of that out from a, you know, sociological perspective is a little bit challenging because cross-dressing is going to be a part of the transition from male to female. But not all people who cross-dress see themselves as transgender. It's just a fetish for them.
No, absolutely. I don't confuse the two myself, but I'm saying back then when nobody could accept the whole concept of transgender, namely because it hadn't really come about, that maybe those people who we thought were cross-dressing were really some of them were transgender.
Some of them, I think that that's a logical conclusion.
I wonder if any studies have been done on that.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's not really, it's not an area of my clinical focus, so I've not done much research in there.
My friend Doug, who, you know, co-wrote Over the Cliff with me, Doug is very active in his gay community in Michigan. And he's told me that there's a lot of controversy within the gay community on transgender. That there are some people who will not accept this as being part of, you know, LBG.
Yeah, I find that ironic for people who have experienced ostracism, prejudice, and oppression. Than not try to be understanding of two or different. You know, this is in one particular area of human sexuality, so I would think that, you know, gay men would be more understanding, but unfortunately I have met gay men who are not accepting of lesbians, and I mean that's the closest thing to us, right, except that they're female and not male. And yet they are, you know, they sort of dismiss them, and I think it's very immature, and I think it's very self-centered. That's not to say that's the case of all gay men, but some I have encountered. And the same is true towards people who are transgender. And I personally find it ironic and sad.
I know, and yet I'm not quite sure if I'm definitely sure there's a really direct connection there or not. It's like saying black people have been persecuted and Jewish people have been persecuted. Therefore, both people should be understanding of each other's persecution, which in theory is how I believe. However, when it comes down to the reality, that's not how people act. So maybe this is the same thing. You know, I hear lesbians who are stating, well, this is not a gay, a lesbian thing. I mean, they're not lesbians. You know, just because they trans feel they identify as a woman, if they have male
that's
genitalia,
right.
That's not a woman.
So here's a thought. People love compartments, okay? Compartmentalizing. They love categories. On,
mm-hmm.
off, day, night, stranger, friend. And in some ways, developmentally, from evolutionary perspective, it's helpful to know the house cat from the tiger. Because it's a survival issue. And it's comforting when I can say, oh, I know where that belongs. It belongs in this category.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some ways where categories can be very helpful. I need to know the stoplight from the go light, right? The green light.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that when we're dealing with other human beings, we need to think in more complex and more nuanced ways. We need to distinguish feelings from ideas, and we need to then be aware of where our ideas come from, to question them, to ask, how did I arrive at this conclusion? And unfortunately, and this happened when I was in elementary school, we started confusing feelings with thoughts. So you hear people say all the time, I feel that, and then they tell you what they think. They don't tell you what they feel. They tell you what they think. And what we need to do is begin to get people, and then I meet people who, they don't know what their feelings are. They have no idea what emotion they're experiencing. They have no idea that they're filled with rage because they don't have a word for it. So we need to return to distinguishing feelings from thought and to think more critically and to be in touch with our feelings. And now I'll get off my soapbox on that.
You know, I just feel like everybody should be open to everybody and that everybody suffers.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm just saying that, you know, all of us have challenges in life.
Yes.
And this is one that I know people can't wrap their head around. And I think it's going to take time. Look how long it took people to understand gay, and they still don't totally understand it.
Right.
I had a call this week from a woman in, you know, the northern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it really distressed me. You know, most calls don't distress me this much. But she was a woman who had a son who was 23. And she came from another country, so maybe their culturally things aren't exactly the same.
Okay.
And her son revealed to her that he's gay.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
She was calling me to get help. And I said,
she's
well,
calling,
what kind of help
calling,
do you...
Calling the, yeah, she's calling the gay, the Straight Walks talk show
mm-hmm.
host and counselor to ask about what to do about her gay son.
Right,
I got that
because
right.
She really doesn't believe that he's really gay. She believes
yeah.
that because he had mental issues, that's why he's being gay. So I went through about 25 minutes of conversation with her, explaining that this is not a choice that people make. It's not
right.
a choice that they have. And, of course, you know, before she called me, she called a whole bunch of other people who are out there on the Internet saying, yes, gay is a choice. And that your son is gay because of A, B, C, D, E, and that he can change this if he wants to. And she said, well, I talked to a man in Chicago, and he said he was gay. But he said, you know, he just was so unhappy with that life that he finally, you know, prayed to God, and he said, I can't do this anymore. And so he went and he got married and has some children, and he's so happy now. She says, that could happen to my son. I said, well, look. I said, you can find 5 people on the Internet who will tell you you're right versus a million who will tell you you're wrong. I said,
mm-hmm.
so if you want to live for that one or two who are going to take advantage of you and offer you some kind of spiritual consolation for some money, you can find them. I said, I can't do that. I can't make up stories that aren't going to happen.
That's right.
And she says, well, we're trying. Here's what's the sad part. She says, we try to do everything for him. we've neglected our other son just because we feel like we have to help our son.
Yeah. Mother sounds like she's overly enmeshed with her son, too.
It was so sad because I think to myself, and I said, well, she says, and he doesn't really want to bother with us. I said, and why not? She says, because we just can't, we don't tell him, but we just don't accept his lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, look, you have a choice here. You can lose your son, because a lot of parents do. Or your son could feel so depressed from your rejection, he might kill himself, because a lot of kids do when their parents totally reject them. She says, well, we're not like that. We're not rejecting them. We're trying to do everything to help him. I said, you're trying to help him so he won't be gay. I said, it means the same thing. He's not looking at it from your point of view. He's looking at it that my parents can't accept who I am. And I said, you know, he's in Europe now. He's somewhere, and he's not going to be home for a while. I said, well, when he comes home, I'd be more than happy to talk to him. And I would and tell him that, you know, look, your parents don't mean anything wrong. They just don't understand. And to let him know that, you know, he's 100% right. There's nothing he's done wrong. You know, I'd be more than happy to talk to him, but I don't think she wants me to talk to him. But here, it's just so hard for people to wrap their hands around this, and there's so many misconceptions about homosexuality that to even think that people are going to just walk into transgender and understand what it is, because as I mentioned to you before, and even though they did ask this to Bruce Jenner, when they were saying to him, like when Diane Sawyer said to him, well, now you're going to be a woman, are you going to want to be with a man? And he said, no, I never had any thoughts about being with a man.
Right.
He said, I'm not attracted to men. You know, I'm just a woman. So is he a woman who's going to be attracted to women? So she said to him, are you a lesbian? And he said, no, he's not a lesbian. So now when people say to me, what is he? I say, he's a transgender. I don't know what else to say. Maybe it's a different category altogether.
Well, there again, I think that it's very comforting to us to have categories.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something outside of the categories that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't surprise us that a person who feels the need to go through this kind of radical change isn't going to necessarily fit our other categories of, well, now you're a woman, so you're going to want to be with a man, okay? This is a person who is making physical adjustments the best she can in order to cope with and have the most enjoyment in life that she can. And it's an anomalous situation. It's unusual. It's not within the norm. And so it challenges our binary way of thinking about things. And it challenges me, you know, personally. I don't relate to it personally, experientially. But what I do try to do is to say, tell me your experience. Help me understand what your experience is. And if you tell me what your experience is, I'm going to accept that that's what it is for you. I'm not going to try to project what I think it is onto you. Still there? Hello?
Sorry, Brian. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
Hello?
You.
Hello? Okay.
I'm here. Are you
there? I think this is just something that's going to take time. Just like it took time for us to understand gay. You know, for when I was growing up, gay was not something that you would even talk about. And gay was looked at as a disease. It would look, old psychologist said that it's something that's a mental illness. Remember that? You're too young.
Of course.
You're too young, but do you remember reading about that?
No, I've read memoirs. I have
people
who have been to psychoanalytic psychotherapists in New York and what it was like, and
Right, so I'm saying that this was something definitely that was unaccepted, and that we had to first come to understanding with, and it's taken all these years, so I don't expect people to understand the transgender situation right at first.
Right.
But they don't have to understand it. They just have to understand that people are in pain, and
Yes.
you know, they're trying to live their life as who they want to be. And even if we don't understand it, we can still be accepting of it.
Right.
Except if you're married to one. That's another story. I'm really accepting because I'm not in that situation, and I really, my heart goes out to the women who are.
But accepting doesn't mean you have to stay in that situation when it comes to light. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stay.
Like you say, if you didn't sign up for it, you don't have to stay with it, right?
That's right.
So, Brian, I do have one more thing to discuss because I have a few of our listeners who asked about this.
Sure.
One of our new, you know, members of our support network said that, could I ask you about this? She comes from a Lutheran background. And, you know, she's a woman who's, you know, in my age category. And she said when she went to her Lutheran minister, she was in terrible pain because it's not just that her husband was gay. He was really horrible, which had nothing to do with the gay. He was just a horrible man. And she was in a lot of pain over the whole marriage. And she did not believe in divorce because, you know, she took her vows in front of God to be married for her life.
Mm-hmm.
And so the minister told her there's good news and bad news. So the good news was that he said, now this is a Lutheran church, that in the church's eyes she was never even married because he had not made an honest covenant. Annulment, not divorce. The bad news was that she was never truly married, so her two boys were born out of wedlock and considered bastards.
Oh, my God.
And that's what they told her.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Of course, she said she never went back, but she said that, you know, everyone running around spewing their individual and bias in God's name. You know, every church is different, right?
Right, right. Well, first of all, even I can't even imagine, even in the most, there are two different Lutheran denominations, one very progressive, one very conservative in this country. I can't even imagine the most conservative church having a pastor that would refer to the sons as bastards. That just makes no sense to me. That's certainly not what even the conservative position would be. So I'm so sorry that was her experience. And to me, to talk about a perversion of the message of the church, the gospel, I think that was. So...
Uh-huh.
That's one pastor's opinion on another Lutheran pastor's response to her situation. I hope that she did move on with her life and she's taking care of herself. And what is the most important thing for her to remember is that these sons of hers are her children, and they are the children of God, as are we all. And in the covenant of baptism, since she's Lutheran, I'll speak to that, they certainly are held in God's grace and love and acceptance, regardless of their father's deception or any kind of, you know, nefarious kind of attitude on his part. So I hope that maybe she will be of good cheer hearing that. And the other guy was...
So that does lead to a question, because not just with Lutherans, but...
The other guy
I was thinking maybe like Catholics.
The other guy
was incompetent. They have the same issue, right?
To say, Bonnie, let me finish. The other guy was incompetent to say what he said. He was incompetent. Even a conservative would not say the children were bastards. That's just an incompetent thing to say. Please go on.
I'm not quite sure, you know, once again, how that leaves people when they have, you know, I know in the Catholic Church sometimes annulment's, you know, the only solution because you can't get a divorce. So
right.
I am kind of curious about how, and you may not know the answer to this, of course, how, you know, Christians as a whole, if there is an annulment, then are the children legally part of a marriage if there was no marriage?
I don't know how that works from state to state. That sounds like that's a legal kind of issue. My guess is, my understanding is there are some states where if they're not married, they take the mother's name. The children take the mother's name if they're not married.
No, I meant in the church, not in the state. How does the church view this?
In terms of well, I'm missing the question.
Okay, so in the church, let's say if you get an annulment and you have children.
Yes.
Okay, so they never recognize, so they don't recognize your marriage. Is that what annulment is?
Well, so only the Catholic Church has a church annulment.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of Protestantism, people simply divorce, or they have a legal annulment. There's not a church process to annul the marriage.
Okay, just in the Catholic Church, right?
The Catholic Church has a whole process of church annulment.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is, you know, a marriage is a covenant two people engage in, and if one was doing it with intentional deception, then that doesn't undo the goodwill of the other party, but it means that one party thought it was one thing and the other party knew it was something different. So, I mean, just rationally speaking, it wasn't what a marriage is intended to be. But the issue for me is I would tell somebody, see, people get all hung up about, well, now is it a sin if I divorce this person? And what I would say there is, listen, we all live under grace. We all live under the forgiveness of God. Life is messy. This is an untenable situation. You cannot continue to live in this situation and have a healthy life. So live under God's grace and move on, and don't worry about is it or is it not a sin. That's really sort of immaterial.
I would think that's a beautiful thing. It's just that the reality for some people coming from some of these churches, you know, it's really kind of difficult for, you know, to state that to them, for them to really believe it. You know, they've grown up in a very,
very
strict kind of...
bound. They're very rule-bound, and they think in terms of sort of earning their relationship with God rather than it being a gift that we either celebrate or walk away from. And, loving parents don't cease to be the loving parents of their children just because things go wrong in their children's lives. If anything, most of the parents want the children to come to them when something goes wrong, you know, to help them repair it if it can be repaired. You know, God exemplifies the very best and more than what we would expect of human beings at their best.
I also feel that when you take your marriage vows, you of course take them seriously, you take them with good intentions.
Right.
But there comes a point where this is not what you had agreed on to a marriage.
Right.
That is true that people say...
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say that, you know, when you take a wedding vow, this is what, you know, women throw at me, that it's in sickness or for health, for richer, for poorer, you know, till death do we part. And women say because their husbands are gay, is that a reason to just throw away their vows to God? I think it is.
Well, I don't know that it is throwing away their vows to God to go ahead and divorce that husband who's now come out. Because we're anticipating the unexpected to come up between two people who understood themselves to be straight when they got married. this was not within that understanding. This is something that's completely outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think that's a really
an
good
affair,
way to put it.
An affair, that could be something that, you know, a person might say, well, that's part of the perverse part. He cheated on me, but we have decided together to repair this, and he's coming back. Okay. But there is no repair when we're talking about somebody whose orientation is towards the same sex, who never should have, was never competent to get involved in the relationship in the first place.
I think that sometimes some of the churches are really tough as far as their whole perspective, so they're saying, well, your husband's sick. You know, you have to give him a chance to get better. And it's, for instance, one woman sent me this story today that I want to end with this tonight, but I did want to bring it to your attention.
Are we talking about cancer? Are we talking about cancer sick? Or are we talking about being gay?
Well, you know, to some ministers, it means the same thing. But this is
about
Pat Robertson. Are you familiar with him?
Oh, Lord. Course.
Pat,
yes, go.
Okay, so yeah, this is in paper today. Pat Robertson, forgive husband who had drunken gay fling unless he's a habitual homosexual. And it says, conservative TV preacher Pat Robinson on Monday told a woman whose husband had a brief gay affair with a fellow churchgoer to forgive unless he turned out to be a habitual homosexual. My husband and I are Christians, and we've been together for 11 years, the woman identified as Carol wrote. Recently, I found out he cheated on me with a male Christian friend in our church. He says it was a mistake, that it happened while they were both drunk, and he wants me to forgive him. I don't know if I can. What should I do? He's been married for 11 years. This guy got drunk. Robinson trailed off while puzzling over the dilemma. Reminded that it was a fellow male churchgoer, Robinson replied, well, hey, drunk, he didn't know what he was dealing with. She says, should I forgive him? He said, of course you should. If he were this way all the time, if he's a habitual drunk, if he's a habitual homosexual, if he's a habitual philanderer, then by all means take a hike. But one time in 11 years, don't throw that all away.
Yeah. So you want my honest response?
Yes, I do.
Sure, happy to. Don't bother listening to Pat Robertson because he is habitually incompetent theologically. There you go.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But I think this advice is so dangerous. You know, once again, I just don't quite understand it. But it's like based on this that you can understand why sometimes women have such a difficult time when their pastors are telling us, oh, you only caught him once. You know, and it's not, you know, anybody could make a mistake like that once.
Like that, yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's hard to make that mistake when you're married, but that's me.
Yeah.
Miss Pollyanna. I guess I just always am looking for the truth, even when there's none to be found.
Keep looking.
I want to thank you so much for coming tonight. And, you know, our women really appreciate so much that you, you know, stand by us, that you're there for them. And for our women and for the men in our network, I just want to remind you that Dr. Hooper is a wonderful therapist who can work with you either in person or on the phone. And when women men want to get in touch with you, they can go to your website. And I'm going to give people the, of course, it's on my gay husband's website under links, but also you can always write this down, Dr. Brian, Brian Hooper, BRBRIANHOOPER.com. And that's your beautiful website, right?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yep.
Well, it's the truth. It is a beautiful website. And you get to look at your beautiful pictures. In fact, one of my gay peer people, you know, support peer counselors at a part of my network when he saw your website a few weeks ago. He said, boy, he's such a handsome man. He said he's too young for you, forget it. But
thanks for the affirmation, yeah.
Yeah, well, like I say, you're beautiful inside and outside, so you are the prize package, and we all appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I
invite
you to the wedding when I meet the right person. Still taking
I know,
out the
and
page.
I'm planning on being there when you meet him. I think it's wonderful that you're able to hold out and not give in to the wrong person, right?
Hey, it's better to be alone than to be in bed with somebody who's become a stranger, you know? No way.
Well, we say that in our network, too. Yeah. It's better to be alone than to be alone, living with someone and making you even more lonely, right?
That's right. That's right. All right.
All right, to all our listeners, we love you, and we'll be back next month with Dr. Hooper. Thank you so much for listening. Brian, thank you so much for being part of this whole movement.
Okay. Sure.
All right,
good night.
I love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.